Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. Chris, it is great to be with you as always.
It is great to be with you, Jack. Things are going pretty well here. How are things on your side of the country?
I think things are going okay. I mean, they're not going okay for some of the vehicles we're going to be talking about in the news segment here. I mean, the 2025 model year is about to start, and we're about to say goodbye to a number of well-liked sports and performance vehicles. I'm going to be sad about this, so I'll have the details for you on that. Meanwhile, a famous American brand is about to return to the market. I have a particular affinity for this brand. We'll have details on that coming up. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration seems to be asking the question, are some vehicles just too big? And here's a question I've got to ask, too. Are vehicle owners becoming overwhelmed with technology features that don't solve the problem or don't work? You probably run into that, Chris. And I'll tell you the results of the J.D. Power 2024 U.S. Tech Experience Index study suggests that could be the case. Chris, among the vehicles that are disappearing for the 2025 model year, is there one that you feel particularly strong about? There's a lot of good things going away.
Well, I'm a big Toyota fan, and as the car I'm going to talk about later in the show demonstrates, it's that they make fantastic sports cars. And so the lower version of that car, the four-cylinder model, is going away, and I think it makes me a little sad.
Yeah, the Supra, lower version, four-cylinder version of the Supra, is one of the soon-to-be not-with-us vehicles. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and, of course, Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners to the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. And I think you alluded to the vehicle you're testing this week. It is what, Chris?
I spent the week in the 2025 Toyota Supra 3.0 Premium Manual Transmission. It's a fantastic sports car, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
I look forward to that report. My test car this week is the 2025 Hyundai Ioniq 5N. All-wheel drive. We'll tell you about that a little later in the show. I have some definite opinions about that. This week, our special guest is a terrific one. Thomas Broberg is a Volvo safety expert. I've known him for decades now, and we'll be talking about the all-new battery electric Volvo EX90 SUV. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and it's news time on America.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menus, signs, and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh cracked American sausage, cheese sauce. Bacon. And the second bite is like fresh cracked American cheese sauce. Bacon. And the third bite, you get the idea. The boss of breakfast burritos, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
IBM and the United States Tennis Association are teaming up and using generative AI to deliver a more informative and engaging experience for tennis fans around the world. Thanks to IBM's Watson X and Granite large language models, the 2024 U.S. Open digital platforms offer never-before-seen features, bringing fans even closer to the action inside Billie Jean King Tennis Center. New post-match summaries mean fans can access detailed analysis for all 254 U.S. Open singles matches, with long-form summaries for each match arriving within minutes of the last serve for near-instant coverage at unprecedented scale. An enhanced version of AI commentary and a redesigned slam tracker brings more frequent, expressive, and contextual commentary, with highlight packages published just minutes after a match concludes. Live matches will have a near real-time 3D graphic of current play alongside generative AI-produced insights. IBM Skills Build's new collaboration with the USTA Foundation provides students, coaches, and the public access to AI and professional development courses, workshops, and more. To see IBM technology in action, visit usopen.org or download the US Open app. Sponsored by IBM.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family-owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built, providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below-grade lightweight geoform fill. Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack and Brad back with you. And it's news time on America on the Road. Number one, and it's not news, but it's true that we're very glad you're with us on America on the Road. And thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. This is kind of sad news, I think, Chris. I mean, there are a lot of vehicles that are going away. A lot of performance vehicles are getting the axe for the 2025 model year, is something we're about to enter into. And let me run down this list. This was a list compiled by CarBuzz. And so pretty interesting stuff here. The Alfa Romeo Giulia Quattrofoglio is going away. The Audi A5 Coupe and Convertible. Those are vehicles I liked a lot. Going away. And the Audi R8, not going to be with us for the 2025 model year. Here's a big one. The Chevrolet Camaro is going away. This is not surprising news. Next, they're going to tell us the Firebird is going away, Chris. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm all that surprised by Audi's moves. I mean, they've been on the electrification train for a while now, if I can spit that out. You know, the Camaro, we've been hearing about its demise for, what, 3 or 4 years now. So
yeah, it's been rumored for
a long time. Also not a surprise. At the same time, you know, we always talk about having more choice being better. You know, it is a bummer to see these cars going away. I do understand, you know, people probably don't buy them in the volumes the automakers need to be profitable, but it is still a bummer.
Yeah. And some go away for the American market and are available overseas. So that happens too. Jaguar F-Type is going away. Another vehicle I've liked a lot and I think underappreciated vehicle, the Nissan GT-R, apparently leaving us, and the various Porsche 718s, the Cayman and Boxster, vehicles I've loved through the years. So a bunch of things. And I think we mentioned, too, the GR Supra 2.0 is going away. So sad news, I think, about all these vehicles disappearing.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a commentary on the economy too, I guess. You know, people aren't in a position to own a dedicated sports car anymore. They need their vehicle to be able to do everything, which is why we see the hot SUVs being so popular now. In fact, you're going to talk about one later in the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the tall vehicles seem to have taken over, and there's just not much interest in vehicles that just have two doors, among other things. And even some four-door performance vehicles are getting the axe, so kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just a commentary on where we are these days. Well, the brand that is coming back, or the vehicle's coming back, not exactly in the form that I was used to, or you and I were used to, is Scout, that famed international harvester brand. I love a brand of vehicles that comes from a builder of harvesting machines, you know, threshers and plows and that kind of stuff. I have an affinity for Scout because, actually, I've liked Scouts through the years, and the protagonist, the hero in my book, drives a Scout. I think it's just a cool vehicle for somebody to drive, so they drive a Scout. And it's coming back as a Volkswagen brand. What's your reaction to Scout returning?
Well, you know, as much as I'd love to say that I'm excited, and I am a little bit excited about it, I think that the attitude that Volkswagen is taking with the Scout brand is different than it was before. I hope that they're able to nail some of that ruggedness, some of that frontier, if you want to call it, attitude that the original one had, while doing so with an electric powertrain in each of its vehicles.
Yeah, I think the original Scout was just tough, right? I mean, it had rough edges, maybe big time rough edges. Again, built by not an auto manufacturer, but a manufacturer of farm equipment. But I think that was one of the cool things about it. Now it wants to compete with brands like Rivian that are also playing in that very rarefied EV off-road portion of the marketplace, which I'm not even sure how big a market that is, or if there is a market there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, Rivian itself has had to implement sales and everything else to drum up business because they're so expensive. But, you know, I think depending on the price point here, Scout could have something on its hands. You know, it feels like fills a gap in Volkswagen's lineup for sure, even though they're two different brands. You know, Volkswagen doesn't currently offer a pickup here. So, you know, it could be a good thing for Volkswagen. It could be a good thing for buyers, too. Like I said earlier, and like you just alluded to, I do worry that it's not going to feel or look or be like a Scout. And the people who would have bought that vehicle might turn away from it because of that.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. We shall see. They're building a plant in South Carolina to build them. So they're pretty excited about that. NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has proposed a new rule for pedestrian safety. Apparently, a lot of pedestrians are killed each year, and the number has been going up. And they believe, NHTSA believes, that it's going up largely because there are large vehicles out there, pickup trucks and SUVs in particular, that have a lot of blind spots. And I can kind of see that in a way. I mean, some of these big vehicles, and generally vehicles have smaller windows than they used to have, which seems odd, but I think the visibility out of current vehicles is not as good as it was before. Thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you take these large vehicles that are already difficult to maneuver in urban or tight situations, and then you add a hood line that is up to my shoulder, in some cases even taller, depending on the truck. And you got a recipe there for a big challenge for the driver and then the pedestrians, too, that because, you know, some of them, my wife especially, is not even tall enough to crest the hood on some of the heavy-duty trucks I've tested. So it is something I think that is overdue.
Yeah, I mean, pedestrians by the side of the road, it could be children, of course, and it's easy to miss them, and it's easy to not see them, especially when you have a large vehicle like that with a lot of blind spots. So something to be said for that idea. The question I have for you is posed by J.D. Power. Are vehicle owners becoming overwhelmed with technology, and specifically technology that doesn't solve a problem or basically doesn't work? What's your experience with that, Chris?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes. And that's probably true for some people, but not all. And I will tell you that, you know, J.D. Power's study found that people leaning into advanced driver assistance systems have found that some of them are just completely pointless and some of them are overdone with their alerts and everything else. And even in my Toyota GR Corolla that has one of the simpler infotainment systems that I've seen, there are still a ton of features that I don't ever touch. And, you know, I could see how someone who's not as tech savvy or who doesn't really care about technology that much feeling like, you know, this car is just, I don't know what's actually happening here.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cars, maybe 80% of the tech is never used by people or never used when they're underway. Some of it is for safety reasons, and I think they're well advised not to use some of this tech, right? I mean, on infotainment systems, going through screen after screen after screen to get something could pose a safety problem. There are some positive signs. Some stuff with AI seems to be gaining favor with people out there. Smart climate control, it kind of learns what temperature you like and adjusts to that. That seems to work pretty good. You know, that's just coming into the market. At the same time, there are things like facial recognition and fingerprint readers that is just driving people crazy. They're wondering, what is this trying to solve for me? Why is this good? What's your reaction to stuff like that?
Yeah, we talked about this with other vehicle features too, and I'm still of the opinion that you don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time you release a new vehicle, right? Like, nobody was asking for fingerprint reading to get into their vehicle, or if they were, there were very few of them. And, you know, as you mentioned, the AI features, you know, I can see that being a positive, right? You know, you don't have to speak a specific sentence to get the answer, like Volkswagen's implementing ChatGPT in its vehicles, and you can just have a conversation with the car, tell it to turn up the stereo, make a, you know, call a restaurant or whatever, and that could be useful to reduce distraction. But ultimately, you're staring at a giant smartphone screen or like an iPad screen, and you're trying to drive at the same time. So I think simplification is in order here across the board.
Absolutely. I mean, some of this stuff just doesn't seem to be necessary. And I think in some areas, there are specific concerns where technology really works well. I think we all like blind spot alert, but lane keeping, quite the contrary. I mean, it just kind of drives many of us nuts. I mean, sometimes I want to cross a white line. There's a really good reason to do it. And for the car to resist my impulse there is kind of annoying.
Yeah, and if I have the option, I turn off reverse automatic braking every single time I get into the vehicle. I've never found it to work predictably. It's always alarming, it's scary, and it could also cause me more distraction than it's worth. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, you know, if working properly, that might save lives. But if it's annoying 99% of the time and not accomplishing anything, I can see very good reasons not to have it on. And maybe exactly. Not to have it on the car, for that matter. Well, when we come back, we will be road testing two very, very cool vehicles. I mean, we are sporty this week with the Toyota Supra and the Hyundai Ioniq 5N. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Christine Jackney-Red with you. And so glad you're with us for road tests. And some hot cars to road test this time around. Some really interesting stuff. I know you're a Toyota fanboy, Chris, and you're driving a Supra. You're probably...
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad with you, and we're so glad you're with us for road tests. And we've got some hot cars to road test this time around, some really interesting stuff. And I know you're a Toyota fanboy, Chris, and you're driving a Supra. You're probably like a pig in, well, you know what, that whole week. Tell us about it.
I was. When it showed up, my wife said, well, won't you be happy this week? Two Toyotas in the driveway.
Yeah.
But it was the 2025 Toyota Supra 3.0 Premium. This, Jack, is the top trim outside of the limited production anniversary model that you can get for 2024-25. I should say that there are no significant changes between the two model years other than that the 2.0 Premium or 2.0 engine is going away, which was a much more affordable version of this vehicle. It started around $48,000. My Supra Premium with the manual transmission and a couple of options came in at just under $61,000. So quite a bit of money for a Toyota sports car here, but maybe it makes more sense when you can consider the fact that it's made and designed by BMW, at least the powertrain is. So you get a turbocharged 3.0 liter inline six engine. It makes 382 horsepower, 368 pound-feet of torque, which reaches the rear wheels through a six-speed manual transmission or the standard eight-speed automatic. Before I go too much further, Jack, have you driven the Supra with the inline six, and what did you think about it?
I've driven it a bit long ago. I mean, I did like it. I, you know, I kind of like the fact that it's a shared platform with our friends at BMW, which is pretty cool. Generally, I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one of the things that I really like about this car is the sound and the engagement. So you get into a BMW and you feel isolated, you feel insulated, like you don't really hear a lot of what's going on. Toyota did a good job leaving this vehicle feeling a little bit raw, rough around the edges. You get a great vibration through the gear shift. You can hear the exhaust, and it's shockingly quick, right? I mean, everybody said that Toyota might have underrated this engine. 382 horsepower is pretty healthy. A lot of people believe it's more than 400. So it definitely feels quicker than the numbers suggest, even though the numbers themselves are very strong. And I have to say, we were just talking about this off the air. I love the six-speed manual in this car, but it feels completely different to the one in my GR Toyota. And I guess that's expected because it's a different manufacturer. But, you know, the throws are a little bit longer than I would expect, but it's an engaging feel. The clutch feels great. You know exactly what you're doing at all times. And the way that you sit in the car, the gear shift lever is higher. So you're almost sitting in like a cockpit, and your shoulder, you can move more freely. Whereas in my Corolla, I'm reaching down to hit the gear shifter. So I think from an ergonomic standpoint, it's a little bit better than that. And again, it's very quick. You get a great handling. The rear wheel drive here feels lively. It doesn't take much to break those tires loose, I will tell you that. And surprisingly, the ride quality here is pretty good, especially over our broken roads. You know, it feels like we don't ever pave around here. But it's smoother than my GR Corolla, which is surprising for a focused two-seat sports car versus kind of a four-seat hatchback adapted from an economy car. Inside, as I mentioned, you get only two seats, but the top premium trim comes with leather upholstery. You get plenty of room. I had no trouble finding a comfortable driving position. There's a good amount of adjustability in these seats. But if you have to take more than one other person with you, or if you have a child with you at any point in time, you may want to go for a sports car that has four seats. That said, you do get plenty of cargo space under the rear hatch. You know, you could throw a golf bag back there. I took it grocery shopping and filled it up with a grocery list full of food for four people and had no trouble there. So I think, you know, the Supra benefits here from BMW's impact because you get a sort of a little bit of higher end interior. But some of the downsides I'm going to talk about when I get to the technology, which is coming right up, come directly from BMW. So you get an 8.8-inch digital gauge cluster and an 8.8-inch touchscreen. And Jack, I'm going to use my hands here, even though the radio people can't see it. What that equates to in this vehicle is not the nice rectangular screen you're used to seeing. It's almost like a sliver that's extremely wide and not very tall. And it, what that does is it scrunches everything together. And when you're driving quickly, that makes things hard to see, hard to interact with in the vehicle. I just think it could be done a little bit better. You're also running BMW's iDrive here, not a Toyota infotainment system. So as we've talked about in the past, there are too many menus, too many swipes, taps to do some of the things that you want to do. Jack, what do you think of BMW's iDrive? And I know this is a skinned over version of it, but it's basically the same.
It's difficult to use, I think. I think they kind of overreached with it. They're doing way too much with it. And maybe it works statically, but when you're driving a vehicle, I think as we discussed in a previous segment today, for a safety, for just general safety purposes, you don't want to be wading through menu after menu and be confused about what you're trying to do with the infotainment system. It's got to be pretty quick and intuitive.
Yeah, it took me 10 minutes to find the control for the automatic rev match on the transmission and the infotainment system. So I think if that tells you anything, granted, that's a little bit of a niche control that not everybody's going to care about, but shouldn't take that long. That said, you do get a good set of features here. You get a 12-speaker JBL stereo with the premium trim. You get wireless Apple CarPlay, but no Android Auto, unfortunately, for those people. Sirius XM radio, HD radio, and so on. The stereo in this car sounds great, but I prefer listening to the engine in the vehicle, so I didn't play with it too much in that regard. And then also you get a full suite of safety equipment, which came with the optional package this car had. So you get blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alerts, forward collision warnings, adaptive cruise, and so on. So Jack, you know, I think there are a couple of complaints here. First of all, the visibility isn't great because the windows are tiny, as we talked about earlier, and maybe just my size and my age, but I find it exceedingly difficult to get into and out of this vehicle. And maybe the price is a little bit too high, but I think those are my biggest complaints about it.
Yeah. Welcome to my world in getting in and out of vehicles. Age is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, love it.
It sounds like a wonderful car, though, in a lot of ways. So
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I was driving a car that was one of the most fascinating vehicles I have driven in a long, long time. It is the Hyundai Ioniq 5N. And we've tested the Ioniq 5 before, the kind of Hyundai's first foray into battery electrics. And this is an electrified sports vehicle. It's the first our Hyundai's N brand, which is, of course, their performance brand. More are apparently to follow, and it's built on the EGMP platform, which is their electric vehicle platform. Kind of makes sense they would use that. This is targeting both Hyundai customers and new buyers, and I'm curious as to who the new buyers are and who the Hyundai customers are for this vehicle as well. I mean, it's interesting to me. The N Motorsports technologies are combined with the E battery electrics, and it has the N brand's performance pillars, is what they call them. The corner rascal, so it's a real hot cornering vehicle. Racetrack capability, head scratcher there a little bit. And it's an everyday sports car as well. So those are the things that the N brand is supposed to be. And I would say probably the Ioniq 5N matches all those. They've done things like reinforce the body in 42 different points to enhance the body structure, give a stiffer structure for better handling. And then it has a bunch of electronic stuff allows it to do things that vehicles typically don't do. It has the N pedal that enhances handling, turn-in behavior, kind of like a world rally championship car, but of course electronically. There is the N Drift Optimizer, which I didn't get to try in my driveway. Go figure. I mean, a lot of this stuff, Chris, struck me as, this is cool, but how do I even use this on the street? And, I wonder what your reaction to that is.
Yeah, again, as we talked about earlier, people not buying sports cars. I mean, the people that buy this would be the ones that want to be able to do everything. Unfortunately, you end up with this vehicle, and when you do those fun things, you end up taking away from the capability in other areas, in this case, the range. And I also will say that, like my GR Corolla and the Golf R that I had before that, these drift features and the performance features they're great on paper, but getting the vehicle to actually do those things and do them like a real rear-wheel drive car would do is another story completely. And I don't know if the IONIQ 5N is willing to do those things eagerly, but my GR Corolla is not.
Yeah. Well, it's probably eager, but I don't even know a safe place to do some of this stuff. It's got 641 horsepower. And the 84 kilowatt battery, I guess, is a good battery size, and it has kind of reasonable range, 221 miles of range, according to the EPA. But then it has stuff like the N launch control. Like, am I going to do that on the street? I don't think so. And, you know, a lot of this stuff seems to be geared to be on the track, but I'm wondering who is driving electric vehicles on the track. And maybe I'm just out of touch, but... this is a kind of a very docile vehicle to drive day to day, which is amazing, given all the stuff that it has on it. But you're also paying, you know, $67,000, $68,000 was the MSRP for this vehicle. It looks cool. The interior is cool. There's a lot of N stuff attached to it. And I'm sure this technology is really cool. I just wonder, how can you use it? Or where would you use this in the way that it probably it's meant to be used?
Yeah, it's going to be on a track. And unfortunately for buyers of this vehicle, some tracks you can only do a couple of laps before you have to stop and charge. So I would venture a guess that a lot of these features, like the tech features we just talked about, are going to go unused, at least most of the time.
Yeah, I think this is a vehicle that looks cool, comfortable, like I say, docile in everyday traffic, and yet has enormous performance potential. But I think it's... kind of a narrow niche, right? A niche of a niche of a niche, but very cool.
Yeah, I think the good news here is you get a lot of fast charging. Hyundai's got one of the fastest charging rates in the business, so you know you could quickly get back some of your range. As you talk about, I love the IONIQ 5 styling, and they did a good job kind of converting that into the performance world. So yeah, just have to see who actually bought
it. It is an attention getter. There is no doubt about that. The vehicle I had was kind of bright orange, and there are orange accents throughout the interior as well. It's got a lot of, I guess, surface excitement, you could say, in the exterior design that's beyond the normal IONIQ 5, which is an attention getter enough. So a cool vehicle, I think a niche vehicle, and maybe this is performance going forward. We talked about performance cars of the conventional sort going away. Maybe this is performance going into the next decade, and I'm just too Luddite to see it.
Get on board, Jack.
Yeah, I got him. When we come back, we will have a special guest. His name is Thomas Broberg. He's a Volvo safety expert, and he's going to be talking about the Volvo EX90 SUV and its safety equipment, all that. I was on a recent event where I got a chance to speak with him. Again, I've known him for years and years and years. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that was our interview with Thomas Broberg, Volvo safety expert, talking about the Volvo EX90 SUV. Had a chance to drive that recently.
This is sponsored by Burger King. Can you handle the heat? Burger King is serving up bold flavor and spice this summer with the all-new Fiery Menu, featuring the Fiery Bacon Whopper, Fiery Mozzarella Fries, Fiery Chicken Fries, and more for a limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. The menu is a fiery take on your BK favorites, with spice levels from mild to wild, offering something for everyone so all spice lovers can truly have it their way. Start with spice level 1 with fiery strawberry and Sprite. Sprite taken up a notch with a fiery strawberry puree for a refreshing sip with just enough kick to leave you wanting more. Add fiery mozzarella fries or fiery chicken fries to your meal for extra flavor and heat. True spice seekers should look no further than the Fiery Bacon Royal Crispy Chicken. At spice level 5, this sandwich features a crispy white meat breast fillet coated with fiery glaze and topped with crispy fiery seasoned bacon, pepper jack cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, and creamy fiery sauce on a toasted bun. To find your nearest restaurant and learn more about the Fiery Menu, please visit www.bk.com. Limited time only.
And here's the pitch.
Want to score some runs with your family? How about an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night vacation for two adults and two children at the Ocean Spa Hotel in Cancun for only $699? Includes airport pickup, hotel, and all food and drinks, including alcohol. And you can travel anytime in the next 12 months with no blackout dates. So visit CancunEscapes.com/radio to book a family vacation for four for only $699.
Going, going, gone with CancunEscapes.com/radio.
Radio.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I need a printer for the office.
Staples has the best brands, like HP.
Well, I have some demands.
Oh.
Burton Sales demands it be fast.
HP's Office Jet Pro is super fast.
Megan Marketing demands color prints.
Check.
And Kurt the Controller demands I don't overpay.
With Staples hot deals, you get up to 40% off select HP printers.
Oh, great. My job can be...
demanding?
I was going to say a lot of fun.
Right now at Staples, save up to 40% on select HP printers, America's most trusted printer brand. Ends 9/28.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack and Brad with you. And we have an old friend with us. Thomas Broberg has been a safety expert at Volvo for years and years. We've known each other for years. We are getting together again at the introduction of the Volvo EX90.
Yep.
Thanks so much for being with us, number one.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's good to be with you. It's been a while.
Yes, it's true. Safety expert. We're talking about an electric vehicle, probably the flagship electric vehicle of Volvo.
Yeah.
Coming to market very, very soon. And I'm really curious about the ramifications of safety in an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of things about EVs. In many ways, they operate just like a regular car, quote-unquote regular car. In some ways, they don't. Let's dive into that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a full electrical vehicle, and we've been doing this for quite some years now, and this is our flagship, as you say. And of course, we want to take safety to the next level. So we've actually wanted to design this to be the safest Volvo ever. And we have, as you know, we have more than 5 decades of knowledge studying real-world accidents. I mean, that's sort of the foundation for everything that we do in order to help protect people inside the car and outside, but also to help drivers avoid collisions in the first place. So that's knowledge base has been put into this car. And of course, then we have the electrical drivetrain and the batteries that we have also included in that design. So using that knowledge, we have made specific designs around the battery. Mm-hmm. As an example, we have had the opportunities to make even further improvements on the deformation zone in the front, for instance, the safety cage itself, and so forth. And on top of that, we have put new sensors both inside and outside to further elevate safety in this car.
Yeah. In a conventional vehicle, let's say an XC90, for example, which is very similar to the EX90 in a lot of ways in terms of size and class, I think all of that. You're protecting the people. You're protecting the occupants. In an electric vehicle, you also really have to protect the batteries, don't you?
Yeah, that's
true. Talk about
that
a little bit.
Yeah, well, if you take the EX90, we have a design. So we have, you can say that we have a safety cage around the battery as well.
Let's talk about this platform, a dedicated platform, I assume.
It is, yeah.
Designed for this vehicle specifically. How does it differ from a conventional vehicle of about the same size?
Well, if you take for Volvos, I mean, again, coming back to the front, if you take the front, the deformation zone has been further improved. And of course, the drivetrain in this.
So describe for our listeners exactly what you mean by that. Kind of a crush zone.
Crush zone. Basically, in all our higher vehicles, like the XC90 previously, we have three what we call load paths. So we have a lower one in the front, we have the main one in the middle, and then we have an upper one. And these are there to add robustness, you can say, independent. So since you have a diversity of frontal crashes, it can be anything from a head-on to an angled, an offset. It can be to a lower vehicle. It can be to another higher vehicle. So you need to add that into the equation. And what we've done with the EX90 is that we have further improved the lower part, where the main loads in the front, when you crash into something, you need to dissipate that load and you need to absorb the energy that is involved. So we have this lower load path that we have further improved. We We actually introduced that with the first XC90 in 2002. Mm. And now we have further improved that to take more energy in that, which adds to the performance in compatibility. So for instance, if we impact a lower vehicle or a lower vehicle.
So a sedan as opposed to a tall vehicle then, like an SUV.
Yeah, then we will engage the load-bearing structure of that car, which then will engage the safety systems of that car. Mm-hmm. So it's the geometrical compatibility. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the traffic environment, it is by nature incompatible.
Yeah, you have all kinds of different vehicles on the road.
All kinds of different vehicles, all the way down to unpredicted road users like pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcyclists, and so forth. Mm-hmm. But for lower vehicles, we have this, and there we have further introduced that. Then we have also improved the uppermost structure in the front. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is for what we call underride situations. So for instance, if you impact the rear end of a trailer or a truck, which is higher, mm-hmm. then we absorb a lot of energy in there. And thanks to, I would say, a little to that it is an electrical car, we have also managed to optimize these load paths much better, which means that we will have less accelerational forces on the occupants inside the car in front of crash, which helps also to improve.
Where does the battery pack sit in the
It sits in the floor, mm-hmm. And we frame that, as I said, we have a safety cage around the battery, and we also have transverse members from the sides that will distribute the load in side impacts, for instance, for different objects. So we set, based on the knowledge that we have gained over the years, studying real-world accidents, we've sort of we set our own standard, the Volvo standard, in terms of what we want to, the type of situations that we expose the design for. Mm-hmm. And most of that is done in computers these days. Okay. That was actually my first job when I joined Volvo in 1995. This is what we call a CAE engineer, computer-aided engineering. Mm-hmm. And I think if we just look at it, the EX90 has been crashed, I would say, more than 80,000 times.
On a computer.
On a computer before it even exists.
Right.
And then on top of that, we do the physical tests as well, because our customers don't buy virtual cars yet.
Right.
So we have to do that as well.
Yeah, they're real people.
So, yeah, exactly. So we put a lot of emphasis on that design. And that also helps improve. So if you take it for the occupants inside the car, so basically you have a very strong framework in the floor around the batteries and transverse members. So if in a side impact, basically our car will be pushed. And then for the occupants, you have the restraints with the inflatable curtain, side airbags, the belts, and so forth.
Does this vehicle have a different wheelbase or radically different wheelbase than the XC90, or is it about the same?
It's about the same, I would say. I'm not an expert on sort of the chassis settings, but I mean we always want to have a nice design.
Yeah, and I was just wondering how that affects safety. You know, if a longer wheelbase, wheels on the corners more so than
I would say
in the
that one advantage you have, since it's a higher vehicle, is that you have still quite a lower center of gravity, which is good in many situations.
Right.
For instance, for rollovers and so forth.
Yeah. To prevent rollovers.
Exactly. Yeah. And the EX90, since it has the battery pack very very low, that adds to that. That's a lot of mass.
And, what kind of mass is that? 900 pounds? 1,000 pounds?
Yes.
Something like that?
I don't know how the exact figures on that, but somewhere around that, I would say. What it also enables, I think, from a you get a better weight distribution over the car as well for dynamic.
Let's talk about advanced driver assistance systems with this vehicle. What does it offer, number one, in terms of driver assistance?
Well, we have the sharpest sensor set ever. So it's both sort of improvements already existing functionality, but also new functionality. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's prepared for adding or improving functionality over time since we have over-the-air. We have a sensor set that is prepared. We have a computer that is big enough to actually be able to add things, which is a huge enabler. Mm-hmm. We're also introducing a driver understanding system. Mm-hmm. So we have sensors in the car that monitors the gates and head movements of the driver. And we have a capacitive steering wheel. And then we have developed an algorithm based on our studies and research on people, on the state of people. So if you're distracted or tired, then we can use that information in order to either turn on functionality like ADAS.
Okay. What are some of the things you would turn on based on the fact that you're seeing?
Say, for instance, a lane keeping aid can be something that you can turn on. You can also change the thresholds. So if you're very alert, maybe you don't. You can be annoyed if you get a warning. We see that, okay, this is an alert driver, then we can sort of hold that warning until a later stage mm-hmm. when it gets really critical.
How do you balance that out? I mean, that's something that you run the risk of upsetting people, right,
yeah.
by giving them too many warnings. At the mm-hmm. same time, you want to keep them safe and give them enough warnings. I mean,
the philosophy for us is that we should not act until we need to act with warnings or interventions. And this is based on sort of, well, at the Safety Center, we have a whole team of non-engineers. They're actually behavioral scientists. So they're trying to understand how we operate up here.
Yeah, how humans think, It's a tough one to figure out.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of studies, both on track and in simulators, where we sort of do experiments, where we have drivers in different situations to see their reactions, and then we build our algorithms around that. So, and then on top of that, we have our own algorithms, and as I said, we can upgrade over time. And we have new functionality on this car as well, like automatic emergency steering. A few years back, we launched a function that is oncoming mitigation by braking, which is in situations where you're driving on the road with two lanes going in different directions. And if a car is sort of coming into your lane, we will apply brakes in order to try to mitigate or reduce the speed before impact. In this car, we will also we have a functionality that will automatically steer. If someone is coming into your lane, it will try to steer within the lane as much as possible to try to avoid or mitigate the collision. Right. So that's new.
From a high level, what is the takeaway consumers should get about the EX90 in terms of safety as it comes to market?
Well, it's there to help protect what is important, the people inside the car. As I said, it's the safest, it's designed to be the safest Volvo ever. It is really all the input from more than 5 decades of studying real-world accidents is put into this. So the integration of how the function, I mean, all cars today have safety belts and airbags and all bangs and whistles. But the important thing is to understand what they need to achieve and when.
And so when, yeah.
And that knowledge has really been put into, I mean, that's sort of the core of the work that we do at the Safety Center, to understand that, so we understand the needs from real people and real collisions. Yeah. Fortunately, most people will never experience a crash. And we're working even further to help prevent that. So how we help prevent collisions, I think, is unique with this car as well. With the sharpest sensor set, we have 360 surrounding views with radars, large number of radars, cameras, and even a LiDAR on the car to understand what's outside. And then we have sensors on the inside for understanding the state of the driver, which is also very unique. And on top of that, we have our leave no one behind system. So we have radars in the interior. So if you unintentionally leave someone in the rear seat.
Or your dog, for that matter.
Exactly. And you try to lock the car, you will not be able to lock it, and you will have a message in the central display.
Well, a very impressive array of safety in the new EX90 from Volvo. Thomas Broberg, thanks so much for being with us. Such a pleasure to see you. It really is. I feel great seeing you after so many years. So thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, and drive safely.
Thank you. I'll do my best. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Chris Peek. I'm Jack Erad. It is listener question time. We love to get your listener questions and comments, so send them along to editor@drivingtoday.com, editor@drivingtoday.com. And Chris, I have a good question for you. I'm curious as to your answer to this question. This is from Manny in Sugarland, Texas. Manny says this: you talk about infotainment systems a lot on your show, so I guess it must be a big deal. Do people really buy cars based on the sound systems? And do each of you have a favorite infotainment system?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I can say that people buy cars based on the infotainment system or the stereo. I will say that consumers have overwhelmingly reported that they wish their next car to have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. So I think there are some features that people gravitate toward, maybe not the infotainment system itself, but some features that people just can't live without. So I think that's absolutely true. My favorites, Jack, and we've talked about these dozens of times on the show, I really like Ford's Sync, the latest one, Sync 4. Stellantis, so that's Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler vehicles. The Uconnect 5 system is fantastic. And I think Hyundai and Kia do a good job with keeping things simple, and they make their vehicles, the systems easy to use while you're driving and not so distracting. So I think out of those three groups, you can probably find a vehicle that fits your needs, but those are my favorites.
Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark, a crime thriller in which the protagonist drives a scout, by the way. It is available in ebook and paperback form on Amazon, so look for that. If you like our show, and we hope you do, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And if you want to pass along a podcast to them, It's easy enough to do, right, Chris?
Yes, you can do that by running a quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast. There you'll find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other top platforms. Download us, like us, leave us a review. All of those things help us, and you can take us wherever you go.
Right. You can also see us on YouTube and Rumble these days. We're putting on individual pieces of the show and whole shows on YouTube and Rumble, so look for us there. And our great thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. We do appreciate their participation and their ability to carry the show. We appreciate that very much. And most of all, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices, so the fact that you've spent all this time with us is a great honor to us, and we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.